Hi there, and welcome back. It's another episode of Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I am a habit change coach and a holistic therapist, and I host this podcast show. Lately, I've been saying we are all about habit change from the inside out. And what does that mean exactly? Well, if you're feeling stuck about a habit that is getting in your way of meeting some goals that you want to meet, or a habit that doesn't serve you or is self-defeating in some way, or if you care about somebody else whose habit is creating these kinds of problems, this show is here to help you in some new ways. We are a 21st century model because, you know, there's just a lot of beliefs out there about motivation and change that come out of the last 150 years and they don't apply to everyone today. It turns out that all habits have hidden layers, and if you are stuck in a self-defeating habit, then those hidden layers are blocking change. And in this show, we focus on making those hidden habits visible. And this works no matter where you are on your journey, whether you're just beginning to explore your own patterns, or if you're feeling troubled about somebody else's patterns, or if you've been working on your changes for a while. The practices and perspectives that we have here can help you stabilize your changes and support you in entering your next phase of growth, because this helps you move your life in the direction that you want. Now, a while ago, the topic of habits and relationships came up, and lo and behold, this led to a whole series that I called Keeping Your Side of the Street Clean, or sometimes I call it Keeping Your Side of the Communication Street Clean. And you can find this whole series of podcasts on my website, habitsintohealth.com, or you can search on iTunes. Just search for Communication Street. And while this topic keeps on giving, for the time being, I'm just going to summarize the gifts that come from keeping your side clean. We are going to start first with our Habits into Health exercise. Because one thing that I've learned, both personally and professionally in my work with clients, is that experience is the best teacher. And specifically dropping down into your experience creates an awakening to what's really going on in you, to who you truly are. The thing is, the practices that we do here are not designed to fix you, or to heal, or to cure, to get rid of your habits, whether you like them or not. There is something much more fundamental than this. And that is, these practices are internal guidance skills. Here, we attend to increasing your awareness of subtle patterns in yourself, which is the first step in taking charge of the changes that you want to make. And in our practices, we are also not meditating. This is not about quieting the mind. It is, in fact, about doing something I call letting your body lead so that your mind can follow. So what we've been doing for the last little bit is making that link between what you're thinking and what's going on in you, in other parts of you, that you may not be recognizing, are not just connected to your thinking, but are your thinking. So let's have you focus on what you're thinking. You might be thinking, this sounds interesting. You might be thinking, what in the heck is she talking about? You might be thinking, I've done this before. All of that is content. And it can be interesting. It can be valuable. And it's not where we go here. We use that content to connect to something else. So whatever it is you're thinking about, let your attention shift to what you're experiencing in yourself as you're thinking this. And a lot of us are not used to doing this because we grow up in this world that has us believing that we are our thoughts. Nothing could be further from the truth. When you think, it's a muscular act. As you think, muscular patterns are going on. In fact, in many cases, muscular patterns are going on, and out of that comes your thinking. So what we try to do in this practice is to help you attune to that. So as you're thinking, just notice what else is going on. You could tune into the other senses. Are you hearing my voice or hearing your own? Maybe it's happening in your sense of touch. Perhaps you can feel your hands touching each other. Maybe there's something that you see, what could be in that phrase, your mind's eye, an image or words. Maybe you have some memories. Whatever it might be, as you're thinking, begin to make a shift to where this is occurring. And if you have to start with above your eyes or behind your eyes, that's okay. It's a start. As you become attentive to where, while you're thinking, you can begin to notice the relationship between muscular patterns and thought patterns. So here's an example. Take your hand, one of your hands, right or left, doesn't matter, and curl your fingers toward the palm of your hand, and then press. Now that's a very clear muscular action, isn't it? Now unpress. That is also a clear muscular action, correct? Now as you press, press in again. Notice what happens in the palm of your hand, in the curl inside your fingers. Notice what happens in the palm itself as your fingers are making contact. Notice what you're thinking. Is your thinking connected to what's going on in your hand? It's quite possible. Maybe you're thinking about something else. Well, where is that happening? Above your eyes? Behind your eyes? Between your ears? I like to use the example of the famous statue by Rodin called The Thinker. We call it the thinker because we know what the muscular pattern of thinking is. We just don't attend to it very much. These days in this world, we pay more attention to the content of our thoughts than where our thoughts are and where that's leading us. So as you become attentive to where you're thinking, just notice what's happening. You may pay attention in a certain way to other parts of you without trying to connect your thoughts to them. But over time, as you do this, as you become more aware of these other parts of you, you may begin to recognize that as you're thinking about something, muscular patterns are happening there. So what do you feel in your lips or inside your mouth or your jaw? What's happening in your cheeks? Just kind of check in. What's happening in the back of your head or down into your shoulders? And as you attend to this, what happens in you? What happens to your energetic state? Does something change in the frequency of your energy? It may or it may not. We're not looking for a particular result. What we're doing is engaging in a practice that makes a connection, that increases awareness between what you call your thoughts and what you call your body. This is actually pretty essential to the change process, because if you think that you're going to create change just by thinking or believing something, well, you're welcome to have that belief. But I can tell you that you won't probably get very far. For most of us, change involves doing. But there's a tricky place that happens. We've also learned to disconnect doing from being. So when we're focused on doing, we may be rushing around or getting something done or just focused on meeting a task, but we're not necessarily connected to ourselves. So these exercises are a way to give yourself permission to connect your doing muscular action patterns with a sense of being, with who you are. And over time, as you practice this, you are learning to take charge of your own rhythm. Another thing I like to say is that this is a practice, and practice creates progress. And through this, you grow in attunement to yourself. And this is where you let the body lead, so your mind doesn't have to be in charge of the show. What you've just done is participate in this episode's opportunity to practice the new attitudes and skills that I learned first for myself over many years, and then started passing on to my clients. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and this is Habits Into Health. It's a podcast show that I host, and I also sponsor all of the Habits Into Health programs. If you want to stop the energy drain of habits that are blocking you from taking your life in the direction you want to go, here are some ways that you can engage. You can start with my free ebook. It's called Do You Have a Habit or Does Your Habit Have You? And it includes 5 warning signs that you're stuck and what you can do about it. Come on over to habitsintohealth.com, fill in your name and email address on the sidebar, and I'll not only send the ebook to you, I'll also keep in touch with updates and other kinds of support. You can subscribe to Habits Into Health on iTunes, and you can follow us on Facebook as well. Just search for the name Habits Into Health, and you'll find us. And then click the like button or on iTunes, subscribe, and you'll get this podcast on a regular basis. Now, if you want to go further, I'm offering a free introductory teleseminar. This is a new venture for me. I'm really excited about it, to be starting this new way of being in conversation. Because in this podcast, I'm broadcasting and you're listening, but we're not directly having a conversation. And a teleseminar is going to let me talk with you and you talk with me and even with others. We will discuss how to deal with the barriers that are blocking your way and ways you can reduce the stress and pressure of your journey toward change. Additionally, you can experience the practical methods that I teach and the profound impact it can have more personally at the workshops, retreats, and private sessions that I offer. Let me know by email. You can get there by going to the contact page at habitsintohealth.com. Now let's talk about our topic. A while ago, the idea of habits in relationships came up, and this led to a whole series about keeping your side of the street clean, especially when it comes to communicating in your relationships. And it's been a really full discussion. So I've decided that it's a good time to focus on the sweet spots, the learning that comes out of these challenges. So I'm going to share some gifts that I've learned for myself and that my clients have gotten from turning this concept of keeping your side of the street clean into a commitment. Research over the last few years by a couple of relationship specialists, John and Julie Gottman, have confirmed something that goes against the soulmate myth. And the soulmate myth is that there's one special someone out there just for you, and when you find each other, it's all good. This is a fairy tale. In their research with thousands of couples, they figured out that there is no perfect couple. There's no such thing as one soulmate. Any number of people could be quite suitable for you. They discovered that all couples have unresolvable differences, and relationships that thrive are a mix of accepting those differences, negotiating disagreements in respectful ways, and approaching softly when you have something challenging to say. Those are just a few of the things that they teach. And it turns out that all of these are a part of keeping your side of the street clean. And it counts for a lot, even when the other person in the situation is not doing the same. We've all been in those kind of situations where we're doing the best we can, and the other person may be doing the very best they can. But the best that they can doesn't involve seeing or hearing you. When you keep your side of the street clean, you're making a commitment to manage yourself and refrain from trying to manage someone else. And here are some things you agree with yourself about. Well, number one, you're going to take responsibility for your stuff rather than analyzing or judging someone else, as if you knew what was going on inside them and why they're doing what they're doing. Doing that is called taking inventory, and it interferes with healthy relating. Instead, you can ask the other person, what a concept. You're always free to reject their position, but you have at least invited them to bring themselves out into the open. You can also simply make a boundary by saying something like, that doesn't work for me, or I have a different point of view, or I feel differently about this, or even, I'm not willing to do that, or I'm not willing to believe that. Another commitment that you make is to recognize that you cannot change another person so you stop trying. Not only does trying to change another person not work, doing it creates conflict because everyone has the right to sovereignty over themselves. You also agree to not dump your feelings on your partner. And that means you find and practice clean ways to express your anger, confusion, sadness, anxiety, or whatever feelings are going on. Then you agree to manage your reactions when they dump on you or act out in any way. And of course, this is a practice. And remember, practice makes progress. No one is perfect, and you're going to mess up. What matters is how quickly you regroup. So the commitment includes making apologies that stick. Apologies in words are a good start, but they don't count as much as apologies in behavior. So if you unload your anger or your helplessness, for instance, do take responsibility for that, and then follow it up by handling similar situations in the future differently. And it's important to recognize that apologizing for how you handled yourself does not mean that you are changing your position about a disagreement that you've had with someone. Those are two separate things. Well, now let's look at some benefits that come from keeping your side of the street clean. The biggest one is it gives you a reality check that creates a clear decision point. If you're in a relationship that has challenges, and you focus on keeping your side clean, then the true nature of the relationship will show up. I can say that with a great deal of confidence because it's happened in my own life and it's happened in the lives of clients. We have all experimented with how we do our reality check. And what we discover is when you clean up your side of the street, the true nature of the relationship shows up. For instance, if things ease up between you, when you start communicating cleanly, when you stop taking inventory, when you focus on your own behavior rather than on the other person's, when you tell the truth about your experience, things like that, then you can be pretty sure that your own past behavior was playing a big role in the conflict. So let me say that again in a shorter way. If you start communicating cleanly and things ease up, then probably the conflict was based a lot in how you were behaving. But what if things don't settle down? You might not like it, but this is still good news. It indicates that the source of the conflict is not likely to be in you. And there's good news and bad news. The bad news might be that you've been holding on to a relationship that isn't good for you, and a reality check will challenge your decision to stay. Because there can be lots of moving parts, like maybe you're economically dependent, or you have children, or there are other reasons that make it difficult to free yourself, you might benefit from getting professional support so that you can develop plans for how you are going to deal with this. The good news is the clarity of a reality check can't be beat for helping you make that decision to either clean up your own act or exiting the situation cleanly. Cleaning up your own act might be getting help and making course corrections for the way you've been creating messy conflict. Or it could be for the way you've been reacting ineffectively to conflict initiated by the other person. Regardless, reality check is a breath of fresh air because you can leave confusion about what's going on and realize that you can leave. Second benefit is plain old satisfaction with yourself. Many people today are chasing happiness, but happiness is not always associated with managing yourself. It's often tied to an external reward. Satisfaction with yourself is an internal reward. When you handle this disagreement and you know that you manage yourself, you did not act out, this is satisfying as well, even if the situation itself is unresolvable or unhappy. Now, there's a little point here, which is another opportunity, and it could be a sweet spot, is you get to learn humility. The satisfaction that you feel needs to be humble. The minute you are getting all puffed up about how great you feel around how you handled a situation, you have stepped out of the clean street zone. Keeping your side of the street clean is humble because you know this way of being has a lot of moving parts. I've been in situations where I did the very best I could, with the resources I had at the time. And I felt satisfied about that at the time. And then down the road, I began to recognize additional options that I could have chosen that I didn't connect with earlier. It's okay. It's a good thing to stay in humility because we are never done with growing. And with that, I'm going to sign off for now. I would love to hear back from you about what kinds of information and support would help you the most. Come to the contact page at habitsintohealth.com and send me a message, or make a comment in the comment section. I do moderate comments because I want to support your privacy, and I want to keep spam off the website. So if you want to keep your feedback between you and me private, just let me know, and I won't post it on the website. If you want me to be back in touch with you, let me know how I can reach you. I like to close by saying if you have a habit that's creating problems for you, or if someone you know and care about has a problem habit, then come on over to habitsintohealth.com and request my free ebook. It can help you clarify the issues that you're dealing with. You can also find other podcast articles and resources on the website. And remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I am here to help you stop feeling out of control over those unhealthy habits, wondering what you're doing wrong and what's wrong with you, and start creating a life where you're in charge of them rather than the other way around. Thanks so much for joining me.